from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. This is Inside Sports.
Tashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
It's a really good ball. It's Shabalala.
Inside the Updates.
Zeya Kolisi and South Africa are Rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Just gone 7 minutes past eight. Assalamu alaikum and a very good evening. You're listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape, where we cover all the latest news and chat to past and present sports stars. I'm your host, Firoz Sheikh. My tech tonight is Nazim Peterson. We're talking cricket tonight. My guest is the former Western Province all-rounder, Ismail Maile Bihadin. But before I chat to Maile, let's catch up with the latest news coming through. Of course, it's the final day of the US Masters. I can tell you Dustin Johnson is in the lead there on 17 under. The par through nine holes. Cameron Smith is a second there on a 15 under. Great day for Lewis Hamilton. He won the Turkish Grand Prix earlier today, also clinching a seventh world championship to equal Michael Schumacher's record. And Italy's Franco Morbidelli won the Valencia Grand Prix, while a Spaniard Joan Mir won the championship after finishing a seventh there. SS Brad Binder finished fifth in that race. Time now to say Aslam Walaikum to Maile Bihadin. Thanks for joining me tonight on Voice of the Cape.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته فيروز and all our hundreds and thousands of listeners out there. Before we start, I think it will only be appropriate to thank the Almighty for granting us to be here tonight. We've lost so many friends and family throughout this COVID-19, and we pray and we make dua and we ask the Almighty to forgive him all their sins and those who are sick to grant him shifa, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Now, you can join the conversation as well. You can call 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp our new number. You should know by now it's 0829-913-913 for any comments or questions. So, Maile, let's start off with your early days. Where did you grow up, and was cricket your original sport of choice?
Feroz, I was born in Claremont, in Frederick, Claremont. My late father, Haji Talib Bihadin, they were from Claremont. So my first year, we stayed in Claremont. And then after that first year, my mother's mother said, no, we need to move back to Stellenbosch. So that is where it all started for me. We stayed in Stellenbosch until I was 26, 27. Then we moved back to Cape Town again.
So that was quite a distance to the Cape.
I'm telling you. You're asking me about where it all started. These youngsters of today, they like to speak about peer pressure and that. My father's father played provincial cricket. My mother's father played provincial cricket. My father played provincial cricket. His brother played provincial cricket. My late dad played SA Malay 11. My mother's brother, Salamuddin Razit, played SACB cricket. So, I mean, if that's not pressure, then I don't know what pressure is.
No, absolutely. And then automatically you had to go into that field as well. So was it just only cricket, or did you play any other sport as well?
Yeah, obviously at school you're looking at all the sports just to get out of class. Yeah. So it's rugby, cricket, soccer, hockey, anything goes. Until, I think, grade 7, 8, I decided, okay, cricket will be it. I made the Western Province under 16 team. Then obviously the province, Nuffield, what we call Nuffield nowadays, and the South African schools team, 82 and 83. And then from there, obviously, the province teams.
Now, by the way, which school did you go to?
I attended Lukhof Senior Secondary in Stellenbosch.
Okay. And you're an all-rounder, obviously left-hand bat, left-arm bowler, I believe left-arm spin. So what was your strength as a spinner?
Obviously, as a spinner, one would also look at the conditions, and you need to get your fielders in the right positions. And then if you know this guy is an attacking player, you would really toss it up to him, and you really challenge him to try and hit you over the boundary. And that's where you pick up your wickets.
Were you a big turner of the ball, or was just you relied on flight and variations?
Flight and guile in the mouth.
Okay. And in terms of batting, were you an attacking batsman or copybook type of batsman?
I think looking back, Feroz, one would say if only I had known better, I would have been more circumspect when I went into bat. But because almost every second ball, I wanted to hit the boundary. And I had many arguments with my late uncle because I would tell him I scored 70 and I hit 10 fours. And he would tell me, that's not cricket. You need to run. You take ones and twos. Just on him, Salamuddin Razit, he played obviously for South Africa. His father, my grandfather, highest score in Stellenbosch, still up until today a record, 274.
Wow.
So on this specific day, my uncle, he was on 269. And he wanted to hit a 6, 275. I'm now the best in Stellenbosch. He got caught on the boundary. Coming home, my mother relayed this to me. They sat at the table for supper, and my grandfather asked him, Salam, what did you score today? Him being very proud of his 269, he said, 269, Dad. So how did you come out? Caught on the boundary. His father told him, you're useless. You can't go out tonight. You stay at home. And he scored 269.
Wow. Okay. So he just missed the record by a couple. But yeah. Now, I believe you are a United Cricket Club man. Was it always United Cricket Club?
There's another story there. Because I come from, my mother's from Stellenbosch. And then my father passed away in 83. But by then, United had been like 12 years old already in existence. My late dad was the first captain of the first team of United, which was started in 1976. And then my father passed away in September 83. I told my mother, okay, I'm going to play in Cape Town now, no longer in Stellenbosch. By then, I'd been playing 3 years first team already for Excelsior Cricket Club in Stellenbosch. And then because Stellenbosch is like a small town, they had 10 clubs, and they would select a team to play against the Western Province board team. And we call it a board team, Stellenbosch board team. And because I got frustrated, because you come to a guy, say Feroz is playing in the first team for Stellenbosch. You pick him up, he say, no, he's not going to play. Very frustrating.
Yeah.
So I said to my mother, okay, I'm going to play in Cape Town. Then she said to me, okay, you're not going to your dad's team first. You're going to my team, which is Blue Bears Cricket Club.
Okay.
Because he's related to our families from Blue Bears Cricket Club. I went to Blue Bells, I played first team there one season only, and then from there moved on to United Cricket Club, 1985. And the very next year I made my debut in the Province B team and the Province Senior team.
So what did Mum say when you said you're leaving Blue Bells and joining United Cricket Club?
I told her, I paid my dues, I told you I'm going to play a season for Blue Bells, and that's it.
So where was United based? And we want to hear some of your memories before we talk about provincial cricket, about your United days.
Oh, Feroz, there's lots and lots of memories. United, obviously, is still up until today, still based at Greenpoint Track, out obviously in Greenpoint. From the start, it was very challenging for me. Like I said, my father was the first captain of United's first team. So there was a lot of pressure on me to perform. And when you walk out there, it's always that expectation that can he play like his dad? Can he play like his uncle? Can he play like his father? And then I always remember what my mother used to tell me, just go out there and express yourself. And that is what I did. When it was for my turn to bowl, I would bowl and take my wickets, or not go for many runs. And coming to batting, I think you had Nazim White here a couple of weeks ago. I can recall we played Montrose one day. I scored, I was on 96 or 97, something like that. And Amin Jabbar threw the ball up to me and I went down the wicket. I missed the ball completely. And Nazim, wicketkeeper for Montrose, he stumped me. And obviously he gave me a send-off. I walked off. And as I walked off, I turned back and I said, I'll get you back. So when their turn came to bat, he's also on 97. He's a cover drive, brilliant cover driver. As I ran up, the Greenpoint track was still gravel around the grass. I dived full stretch, full length out, picked the ball up from the gravel, threw it in the keeper's hand, and he was out, ran out.
Wow.
So I'm standing there in front of the Montrose supporters at the track, and I'm waiting for him to come down. As he walks past me, I told him, I'm going to get you.
So what was the rivalry like? You know, Nazim spoke a little bit about that. Obviously, he was a Montrose guy. You, from a United perspective, you had Montrose, Primrose, yeah. I can't get the other names, Victoria, Ottomans. So what was the rivalry like between these teams? And, you know, obviously, a lot of them you would have played together with in the province team as well. But when it came to club cricket, what was the rivalry like?
Yeah, I think that was the amazing part of it, man. When you played, I played for United and Nazim for Primrose, I mean, for Montrose, and Faik Davis for Primrose. But when we played against each other, I didn't know them, they didn't know me. And because this is a family show, I can't say what happened on the field. But really, there was no friend. Is when you step over that line, there's no friend. Mm. Either my team wins or you're going to win. So when it came to that, and then Tuesday night, I practiced with the club at Greenpoint Track. Wednesday night, I must go to Rosmead to practice with the province team. Then we practice with Faik and with Nazim again. Then we're friends again. Saturday, we're finishing off the second day of the two-day game. And then we're enemies again. But it never became personal. And I think this is maybe something where our coaches of today should speak to our youngsters. Mm. They take it very personal. It doesn't stop on the field. It goes beyond and beyond. Yeah. And I think it needs to stop there. I've remained friends with everybody I've played with and against over the years. So I'm actually very happy about that.
No, absolutely. You're 100% correct. That's where it stopped, because on the field, it's a battle. It's a battle out there. But once you step across the boundary, then that's over. You leave it behind, you know, and then you, as you say, you guys are friends, which is a brilliant thing. In terms of the league titles and stuff like that, who was the dominant teams from in terms of club cricket?
Obviously, club cricket.
Or was it like a shared thing, you know, Montrose, Primrose, United, Ottomans? Which teams?
It's always Montrose, Montrose, United, Primroses, and then later on Ottomans as well. Yeah. Mm. But for the most of the time, it was United and Montrose. Okay. Everybody very competitive, obviously, with you. Montrose fielding probably 7 or 8 players that played provincial cricket in their first
game. So they had a really strong team.
They had a very strong team. I just want to relay this to you. We played at the old Rocklands A. We played against Montrose. They had Adnan Meyer, the opening bowler, Vincent Barnes, Dalton Miller, Reggie February, Amin Zabar.
That's like the province attack already.
Completely attack of Van Graan. So we're like 40 for 2 or 4-3, and Masau and Faik had the wicket. So we batted the whole day that day, and they couldn't believe it. They'd taken like 3 wickets for no runs, and then Masau and Faik just bogged down, and we said, we're not going to come out. I think we ended up with 70-odd, and Masau was 70-odd. But that was just because it was Montrose. The competitiveness changed. When you step over that line and you're playing against Montrose or a Primrose, things change dramatically.
Fantastic. We're chatting to Miley Biadine, the former Western Province all-runner. We're going to take a quick ad break now. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Just gone 23 minutes past 8. My guest tonight is the former Western Province all-rounder, Ismail Miley Biadine. Miley, now let's talk about your provincial memories now. I want to ask you, before we get into the discussion, can you remember when you made your debut for province?
1985. I'm not sure about the date now, but it was 1985, Feroz.
I'm waiting for you to finish before.
Okay. I was actually selected to be 12-man for that game against Transvaal at Greenpoint Track. I can still remember up until today, the then president of Western Province, Mr. Sabotka, he fetched me from the late Muhammad Sambo's house in Kent Road, Weinberg. I got into his car with just a tracksuit and my whites in a bag, small bag, because I'm 12 men and spikes, no kit, nothing. And he still asked me, Miley, you're not taking your kit? I said, no, I'm 12 men. So as we got to the field, we started doing warm-ups. The one batter was Drew. And then our manager that time was Lefty Adams. Mm-hmm. He came to me, he said, Miley, you're playing. I still said, no, I wanted to argue with him. He said, no, you're playing. I told him, but I don't have kit. He said, don't worry, I'll organize it for you. Anyway, fortunately for us, we won the toss and we went to field. In the Transvaal team was Harun Logat,
Vincent Barnes.
Vincent Barnes, Barney Muhammad, Jack Manak, Hussein Manak. And yeah, I'm making my debut against them.
How old were you, by the way?
18. Like I said, fortunately, we fielded first, so the nerves was a bit better when it was our turn to bat. But before I went in, Lefty Adams told me, Miley, they're going to have a full go at you. Just remain calm and just take your time and relax. Fortunately, my teammate at United was Faisal Ibrahim, and he batted well with me. And as I walked in, he said to me, don't worry, you just take the singles, I'll sort them out. And as I took my guard, Vincent Barnes, long hair on his shoulders, playing for Transvaal, obviously at that time, he walked up to me and he said to me, you lighty, I'm going to kill you today. Now you can remember, no helmet, no arm guard, just gloves and your pads and your box. And I didn't say anything to him, but he bowled three or four bounces in a row. That time you could still bowl your bounces as you wish. I just made sure at the end of the day he didn't get my wicket. And I scored 34 on that day.
And that's a match you guys won, by the way. You didn't bat in the second innings.
No.
Yeah. So it must be a huge honor making your debut for Province, Marley.
It was exactly that. It's a huge honor, especially, like I said earlier, father, grandfather, uncle from both sides playing for Western Province. I remember now my father's father, his name is also Ismail, they call him Maila Rot Behadin. He played with Shukri Conrad's grandfather, and they called him Koki Conrad. And then my father played with Shukri's dad, Dadiki Conrad. And then I played with Shukri in the province team. So for three generations, just cricket, cricket, cricket.
Fantastic. Let's look at some of your stats now. 26 matches for province, 1,003 runs, 200s. Highest score of?
142 against Natal, your team.
Yes, absolutely. At UWC in November 1990. So making that 142 also must have been a huge honor. But there's a story behind that as well. Please share that story with us, because I believe you fell a few runs short of a record.
Yeah, the record in Western Province is 145. It's still held by Dadiki Sadiq Conrad, Shukri Conrad's dad. And then when I was on 142, I tried to play a leg lance, and the ball hit my thigh pad, and the umpire gave me out RBW. I probably stood there for about half an hour. I didn't want to move because I knew that was the record, and I'm about to break it. Anyway, that's how the game works.
They had to drag you off the field at the end. Let's listen to some of your memories as a province player. Share some of those highlights, because province dominated Hawabol cricket. I think from the time you made your debut, they won about the last five or six seasons. And you played with some top players, you know, the best, you know, many of them would have easily played for South Africa if they had equal opportunities. What was it like? Share some of those highlights with us.
Just to walk next to the guys that were in the team already when you got there, that was already a privilege for me. You look at a guy like Serhat Gabriels, Stuart Hendricks, like I said earlier, Faisal Ibrahim, Mansoor Abdullah, probably the most technically correct batter I've ever seen. And we had MZ Ali also. He still used to bat with gloves that had the dimples on it.
Yeah,
He never changed. He used that gloves until he retired. And then obviously the great Saeed Majid, who was just a formidable leader, batting, bowling, fielding, and always playing with a jersey. It could have been 40 or 50 degrees. He's wearing that jersey.
The province jersey. Yeah.
And that bat was, just to put it there where your heart is, was amazing. Good memories. Like you said earlier, I scored 142 against Natal at UWC. I was involved with Nazim White in a partnership of over 200, I think. Also against Natal, unfortunately.
You guys took advantage over by a former province there, Miley.
Yeah. The thing is, when we played, especially in Durban, the wickets was always awesome wickets, and the outfield was brilliant. And then as Western Province, we made sure we only won a bat one.
Yeah.
So we win the toss, we score 300 or 400, And then we pulled Natal out twice.
And of course, you had the attack to do that, right?
Yeah.
You guys had a brilliant attack. Just Vinnie Barnes' record on itself, it's absolutely phenomenal. And like you mentioned some of the players, and I've got it down here, Saeed Majid, Vinnie Barnes, Siraj Gabriels, Mansoor Abdullah. We heard a lot about him, how technically correct he is. So, you know, you guys really dominated. But there must also have been some players from the other provinces that you had battles with or battled against. Has anyone come to mind?
I think the first one that springs to mind was a guy called Andre Peters. Mm. He played for Eastern Province.
Yeah.
He's now in Australia, I think. And obviously, Harun Logart, very competitive. And my friend, I think he's also passed on now, Jajbhai, Mohammed Jajbhai. He played for Transvaal.
Mm.
Awesome cricketer, great batsman was as well. Bowling-wise, challenging was obviously Jack Manock for that height of his.
Mm.
Puts you off, and then they had a guy, Neil Edwards.
Mm.
And for EP, there was a guy called Mali. He came from Zwide in the Eastern Cape. Tall guy, opening bowler. I'll never forget him, yeah. And then locally, obviously, there was a lot of top cricketers here. What made it so challenging for us here in Cape Town was you don't only play against two great cricketers in that opponent. Team or the opposing side.
Mm.
There are 4, 5, 6 great cricketers in that team, and that was a challenge for us.
And of course, you know, the cherry on the top would be gaining selection for the end of season. They would pick the best SACP 11. I think you gained selection for those teams twice, 1988, and in the last ever non-racial team before unification. So that was like representing your country being selected for South Africa, although it was under the South African Cricket Board banner. But that must have been huge as well.
Yeah, obviously, when you play in cricket or for that matter, any sport, you want to compete against the best, and then you want to see if you can make it to represent your country. Yes, I did get selected for the SACB team, but the unfortunate part was you didn't play against Australia or England or something like that. But I'm very, very proud of the fact that I could make it into that team twice, especially the last game before Unity 1992. We played at the famous border.
Buffalo Park,
yes. I think I scored 60-odd the Friday night, and then 80-odd the Sunday, if I'm correct. Yeah, but for me, that was a very special occasion because before the game, the ANC guys came onto the field.
It
was Steve Twete, yes. Walter Sisulu, and those guys. That was really, for me, something to never, ever forget.
Yeah, I'm sure. If I can ask you, can you remember some of the team, that team that you played in, the 11?
Our team, Imran Munshi.
Mm. Let's test your memory.
Imran Munshi is Siraj Gabriels.
No,
I'm Saeed Majid.
Yes, he was a captain.
Yes. And Faik Davis, Nazim White.
Yeah.
Oh.
Vinnie Barnes,
obviously, yes.
Andre Peters, you mentioned.
Yes.
Harun Logart.
Kaya Majola. Left-arm spinner.
And Abdullah Manock, Jack Manock.
Yeah.
Yasin Beg.
Yes.
And of course yourself, Hussein Manock was the 12th man.
12th man, yeah.
Now, absolutely, that's brilliant. You played in the team that won the last 5 editions of the Hawa Bowl. That must be special as well, in that province team that really dominated.
Yeah, you talk about special. If you play with people who are special, then obviously you're going to achieve special stuff. Yeah, we had that attitude where we said that we never go down without a fight. Whether it be we need to defend 120, we still believe we could do it. And I think that was what made us so special.
What made the province team stand out? I mean, look, in SACP, there weren't many teams. In the end, it was Western Province, Transvaal, Eastern Province, and Natal, the four teams.
Yeah.
But what made province stand out against the other teams?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it was, like I said earlier, that just that sheer determination. We want to be the best. And in order for you to be the best, you put in the hard yards. I mean, I take it for myself. I came from Stellenbosch. I practiced at the Greenpoint track on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And from Stellenbosch again on a Wednesday, I practiced with the province team. And that was the total commitment of everybody in that team. You didn't come there to make fun or make jokes. You came there to achieve something. And I think, like you said, we won five. The last 5 years, we won the Hawa Bowl.
Yeah. Post unification, Miley, did you continue in terms of playing first class, or was it just club cricket that you had to stick to?
That's a tricky question. Post unification, I got selected in one game for a President 11 against an Invitational 11. Myself, Paul Adams, Russell Gibbs, Rainier Munich, we were all in one team, and unfortunately, I can't remember the other team. But I think that is where it stopped. At Unity, they selected two squads, and we practiced at Pineland High School. I can still remember that day. So because I was working at the time, I had to leave my job early, 3 o'clock from Paul, to get to Pineland High at 5 o'clock. Sitting in the traffic, and you thinking, this is my first night I'm going to practice with everybody, like in one squad. So now you sit there and you wait for your chance to get that opportunity to go into the nets and express yourself, and you don't get the chance. How disappointing. And unfortunately, being me, I never went back, and I decided just to focus on club cricket.
Yeah, look, I hear what you're saying, and many, many players, I'm talking about for players from KZN that played for Natal, and a lot of them were forced to retire at an early age because of the same thing, not being given an opportunity because you thought unification was coming, you're going to get a chance. But never really got a chance in terms of players. A lot of players lost out, and they were forced to retire at a very young age. Are there any regrets, knowing that, you know, like many other sportsmen and women who could have possibly played at a higher level, you never really got a chance?
Yeah, I think for me, the one regret, though, is I never had got the opportunity to play overseas. Not even for 1 year, go to England maybe. Mm. The only time I went overseas was when I played at Robben Island. I played 2 games at Robben Island.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if that qualifies as overseas. Yeah, but I think it was Montrose's 30th year anniversary, and they organized a game there. And then Professor Odendaal organized for United also on a Sunday, and then we played cricket there as well, yeah.
That must have been a great experience to play at Robben Island.
Awesome. We first take you on a tour, and then we played cricket.
Wow, that was brilliant. Yeah. Now, obviously, Cricket South Africa, you know, handed a lot of the green blazers to sportsmen, I mean, cricketers, I think SARU rugby players and stuff, for their contribution to cricket. And you were one of the ones that received that green blazer for your contribution to the sport. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it means a hell of a lot to me. Sorry for the word. But it really meant a lot to me, especially at the time when they informed me that we were going to get the green blazer. Yes, some people out there still said, no, it's not right. Why are you taking the blazers? But we felt it was right to take the blazer because we deserved it. It's not because we didn't do something about it. We couldn't do anything about the situation at that point in time. So, yeah, when they called out my name at Newlands, I think it was during lunchtime at a test at Newlands, and they called us up to come get our blazers. It was really emotional for me.
I'm sure it was a proud moment.
Sure.
At what age did you decide to finally call it quits now? You know, if you had your province days, post-unification didn't work out. You played club cricket and said, now enough is enough. I need to hang up my cricket bat and my spikes.
Yeah, at a young and tender age of 36, I decided I've had enough now. I spent over 20 years playing first-team cricket, and I think that was enough.
And was it coaching immediately after that you went into?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I didn't have a choice.
I said I'm going to take a break, but immediately after that I went into coaching. I became a manager of the first team at United. We even won the double with Dane Patterson in our team. So, up until now, I'm still involved. I'm still doing whatever I can to assist youngsters out there.
So what role do you play now at United in terms of your coaching roles?
In terms of my coaching roles, United Cricket Club has just appointed Shaheen Khan as player coach. So I will be his assistant this season / manager. And then preseason, I've started with the preseason already when he wasn't available yet. So going forward, I'll probably just remain the assistant and he's a manager for the team.
Fantastic. Just gone 20 to 9. We're going to take a quick ad break and we come back. Okay, I'm told we can continue for another 5 minutes. United Cricket Club, obviously the season hasn't started yet, Miley. So you guys are busy doing a pre-season, I believe. How's that going?
Yeah, obviously with our friend COVID-19 being around, it's been very challenging for everybody. We started training mid-September, and then we received a letter from Western Province that we needed to stop, and they're going to send out a team to sanitize the field and nets. Eventually that happened, and then we could start again with the preseason. Unfortunately, the numbers wasn't really there yet. We're getting about 10 to 13 players at practice max. But we're happy with that. Probably numbers will increase. I think everybody is just worried about the COVID.
Yeah, no, absolutely. United, in what division are they currently at the moment? Are they still in the Premier League? Or?
Yeah, we're still in the Premier League, the 1B division, though.
And how many teams altogether does United have at the moment?
Currently, we have four teams, four senior teams.
Fantastic. And in terms of players, any Cobras players in the squad, or any top players that is coming under your wings, Miley Biadin's wings, that we can look forward to, might be names for the future or anything like that?
What I can share with you is that our one player actually left the season for Mpumalanga. He's playing in the amateur team. He got a contract there, Kieran Kinney. And then we're busy working on the others now to make sure that they can make it in a certain different divisions, of course, yes, age groups as well.
And obviously, you know, as you said, it's COVID, and teams are battling there to raise funds and stuff like that. So if anybody out there wants to contact United Cricket Club to help them in any way, who can they contact? How can they get hold of you guys? Or anything like that?
Thanks for that question. We actually started an old boys club now. And if anyone is interested in joining us, or they can just WhatsApp me on 078-314-9021. And then I can also give you another gentleman's number. Mm. You won't mind, I'm sure. That's Adi Dolly.
That's not a problem at all. I'm just going to repeat your number while you're getting that. It's Ismail Bayadin, 078-314-9021. So anyone wanting to get in contact with Miley regarding United Cricket Club, more than welcome to contact him. And the other number is?
And the other one is Hardy Dolly, 073-199-9135.
Fantastic. And then you're talking about the Old Boys Club. Is that the over-50s you guys want to start? What's the Old Boys Club?
Actually, what we're trying to do now is to get the old boys together, all ex-players or members, just to get them together and to make sure that after, obviously, COVID, we're trying to get them to come to the field, to come watch a couple of games with us and just share maybe a Saturday afternoon with the boys and reminisce about the good times.
Now, we're just talking off air earlier on, and we're talking about the over-50 league, and I saw that smile on your face again. That, but just a pity that United doesn't have a team there. Maybe you're thinking of dusting those cobwebs from your kit and starting again. Would that be something you'd consider?
Yeah, maybe I can use the Voice of the Cape now as a platform to invite maybe of our ex-players and the old boys especially, if they are interested in starting the team again, the over 50s.
We can rekindle those rivalries, Miley, because I believe Montrose has got a team and Primrose has got a team as well.
That's correct.
So United need to come out with over 50 team and start the rivalry again.
Yeah, I suppose so, but then we need to get the medical sorted out as well.
No, Miley Biadin, you know, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you this evening and to listen to some of your stories. As I said to you when I called you, it's about sharing the stories, you know, and refreshing your memory. And I'm sure you would have heard a few things here that you would have forgotten about.
Sure.
Some of the players that you've played with against, some of your highlights, some of the memories. So that was fantastic. Just one question before we do end. You mentioned some of the players, and I know I'm a former Durbanite, KZN, and I really need to, you know, although you guys used to whoop us left, right, and center, there must have been some Natal players that gave you guys, can you hear Nasim laughing in the background there, some Natal players that gave you guys a hard time, Miley. Come on, at least give me one name.
Okay, I'll give you Jesse Chillen.
Jesse Chillen,
yeah.
Was a
great batsman.
Fantastic.
Feroz, just before we close, I just need to share this with you guys. Over the years, United has obviously produced, like you said earlier, provincial players and SAGB players. I would like just to mention them.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
And the years they played.
Yeah.
The reps we produced over the years, playing for, I'm talking about post-apartheid now, post-unity, sorry. Faik Davids, 1992-99, Adnan Meyer, 91-96, Rashid Lewis, 98-99, Rashad Majid, 99-2005, Ihsan Damon, 98-99, Farhan Behardin, 2004-2005, Mujahid Behardin, 2010-2011, Munir Holmes, 2009-2010, Aziz Tamur, 2007-2010, Munib Abbas, 2008, Wissam Kiran, 2011, Kasim Adams, 2008, till current, Dane Patterson, 2009, Dane Pitt, 2009, Muhammad Yasin Wali, 2009, current Warriors captain, obviously. And then the Sagby players we produced over the years, as my late father, Talib Behardin, SA Malay, 11, Mansoor Abdullah, Sekos, 82-83, myself, 87-88, 1990-1991. Faik Davids, 87-88, 1990-91. Sirat Gabriels, 86-87.
Umar Hendry, 1991-93. And Amin Jabbar, 1982-1983. Wow, definitely some household names there, both under the SACB and the post-unity eras this. Ismail Behardin, thanks so much for accepting the invitation, and it was a brilliant chatting to you this evening, and all the best to you. Thank you for coming through.
Shukran, thank you for having me. And like I told you earlier before we started, I've never been this nervous. Even the first time I faced Vinnie Barnes at the track, I wasn't this nervous. But shukran, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, that was another edition of Inside Sport. I'll be back from Monday to Friday on Drive Time for more sporting news. From me, Firoz Sheikh, have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum.
My radio station, your radio station, our radio station, the voice of the Cape.